Hello, Stargazers. Welcome to Seventh House Astrology, where I take any topic that is astrological or any topic that is related to relationships or romance. I investigate it under the lens of Synastry Astrology, otherwise known as Love or Relationship Astrology. I am your host, Sandra Mizek, and I'm so glad that you guys have joined me for today. So, today's episode, I feel like there's two topics in one episode. We just had the lunar eclipse as of last night, Monday, March the 25th of 2024. So I just wanted to kind of give some insights into that, as well as we haven't covered an aspect episode in a little while. So today is that great time to cover that aspect which will be Jupiter conjunct Uranus. So with the lunar eclipse. So as you guys may or may not have known, it did happen as of 10:59 Denver time. So I believe it was 12:59 Eastern time. And I kind of missed the spectacle. Although sometimes I feel like that's kind of a good thing because the spectacle of a lunar eclipse can be rather eerie and kind of creepy. I mean, it's where the blood, it's kind of like a blood moon mainly. In fact, I think it is considered to be a blood moon. You know, it's blood red. While it can be kind of somewhat cool, it's kind of eerie all at the same time. So, and kind of weird, you know, kind of carries with it a weird little vibe. So, I mean, that's both ominous as well as reflective. So I think it was best that I kind of sat out on this one, or that I was in bed for this one, but it was in the sign of Libra. So main themes that I really come up to. So again, as I've mentioned with my lunar eclipse episode, lunar eclipses are very much like new moons, even though ironically they happen during full moons. So it's basically a time, actually I keep saying the new moon, I think it's actually the epitome of the full moon, just supercharged, sorry. Either way, they usually mean goodbyes, saying goodbye to something while welcoming in something that is new. So to have the lunar eclipse in Libra, to me, that signifies, you know, we're kind of in the midst of balancing a couple of things out when it comes to relationships. Jewel in Truth and Aspect Astrology had mentioned that because the moon was actually opposite the sun in Aries, we were kind of balancing in relationships our needs with other people's needs. I've come to a similar conclusion. It's more of how to balance your needs with those around you as well. I'm kind of thinking more individualistically, and I've actually come up to this energy since December, way before the lunar eclipse, but I'm really more inclined of thinking that ever since my father's death, unfortunately, and fortunately, I've had to assume more responsibilities. So there comes that question of that balance between how to take care of me while I'm trying to take care of my family or what is left of my family in return. And I'm trying to help and taking care of what is left of my family in return. So there might be some similar themes. I usually say whatever needs to be balanced is whatever's being expressed in full. For me right now, I feel like a lot of people take center stage, or they have been taking center stage, whether that's at work, whether it's at home, sometimes whether it be in another relationship. I kind of give a lot of people full attention first, and then I pay attention to my own needs. And really, I feel that I could do a little more self-care in this time. So I think really whatever is more predominant, whether it's you're putting other people first or whether you're putting yourself first, that's what you're going to be saying goodbye to. And, you know, while, you know, putting other, if you're like, say you're predominant like me, where, excuse me, you're putting other people first, it's not like you're going to completely say goodbye to that. You'll still do that, but you're going to prioritize you a little bit more. The same with the vice versa relationship. If you are prioritizing you above other people, you're going to be learning how to prioritize other people's needs in balance with your own. So I think the challenge is what exactly you're trying to balance and what exactly seems to be the opposite for you. And I think alluding to Jewel in Truth and Aspect, she was referring to Aries being the rule, the ruler of the first house, and Libra ruler of the seventh house. You're balancing the ego versus the needs of others. And kind of, I think she was kind of mentioning how it's beautiful in the regard that you're kind of standing down, you're kind of lowering the ego a little bit in order to serve better in your relationships, or be better and be more present in your relationships, which can be beautiful. Yes, it can be an interesting aspect to come up to. It could be a very beautiful aspect in relationships. But again, it's not something that's going to happen. The balance aspect is not something that's going to happen overnight. You know, for me, I have had this aspect of trying to balance my own needs with everyone else's needs. And I feel like I'm still struggling with it 3 months later. So stargazers, hang in there. Whichever need needs to be balanced, whether you need to prioritize other people more, whether you need to prioritize yourself more. I'm just going to say, after 3 months of trying to do this myself in my own life, I'm still struggling with it. So it's going to take some time. And, you know, while the effects of the lunar eclipse are kind of settling in, this is again, it's still going to take some time. And this is still something that's going to be either a lifelong process or a year-long process, or could be a couple of weeks when you're finally kind of feeling that you're making some headway with it. So again, what I just urge, just try to be patient, but above all, try to learn or try to really epitomize those lessons as much as possible, and try to, you know, meet the reflections that happen for the lunar eclipse in Libra. As I've also mentioned with the lunar eclipse episode that I do have on this podcast, that when it comes down to the lunar eclipse, speaking of that wonky energy, I don't know if you guys are feeling it, but I'm definitely feeling it. Now, with the road, I'm not too sure if it's the lunar eclipse or if it's Mercury's about ready to go retrograde as of the first of next month. Yeah, I mean, when the heavens throw you a curveball, they land a doozy. I have to say it. Big time doozy. I don't know whether it's one of the two effects or both, but I do know on the road, a lot of people have been very unbalanced. And I do feel like the energy there, I almost got into 5 accidents on the way home this evening, just this very evening. So it's really, I think it kind of goes that saying the energy is kind of wonky and kind of wobbly, so to speak. And I just remembered back in 2022, when the eclipse had happened, when there was a lunar eclipse that happened in Scorpio, it just felt like my life was on a high wire for at least a whole week before it started to settle in. So if it feels kind of wonky or feels kind of stressful and dramatic for a little bit, that's really the reason for why. I'll just be, you know, like I said, again, it lasts for about a week before it starts dying down. I know there are some astrologers that say, oh yeah, 3 days. I'm sorry. I give it 7 days. I give it a full week because it's just such a, it's an interesting astronomical occurrence. And it's also just, it's not every day that we get an eclipse. So, you know, in a full eclipse like we did last night. So, energies might be a little unstable for a little bit. What I recommend when it comes to the unstable energy, if you're on the road, just be extra careful. Just really double, triple check things, when it comes to other drivers because you don't know where their heads are at. Be prepared. Like I would say, take out your, this is a time where you might need to take out your cell phone, put it on the seat, you know, take it out from either your back pocket or your purse, put it out on the seat just in case you might have to call 911. That's what I tend to do myself. Because a lot of people are not driving very well and they're putting other people, what they don't realize when they suck at driving is that they put a lot of other people's lives at risk. And that seems to be the biggest, wonkiest energy that I'm facing thus far. I would also say, take a look at where the eclipse hits your chart, you know, the house in your chart and what that, archetype means. That's a good, opportunity to kind of grow and kind of do something that's the opposite. So like, for instance, the lunar eclipse happened outside my third house. So I'm making sure that I'm watching my words. I'm watching how I say things because that is the whole house out, sorry, the whole house of communication and also thoughts as well as education. So I'm looking out for educational opportunities. I'm also just making sure that my own words are intact and that, you know, I'm not leaving anything up for error, you know, that my intentions are solid, that I'm communicating my intentions and that, you know, there's not a, you know, a wonky room or a little space for any sort of error that happens. But I think in handling the drama, you know, any sort of everyday dramas, which do amp up during the lunar eclipse, take a look and see where the lunar eclipse happened outside of whichever house and whichever house that occurs. Maybe just amp up honesty and, you know, being really honest, being very transparent and making sure that somebody's not misunderstanding you. And that also, furthermore, you're not heightening the drama. You know, definitely do, you know, defend yourself if you need to. But, you know, and, you know, obviously stay safe, defend your safety, of course. But, you know, really just try to make sure you're doing, you know, you're kind of piecing together all matters with that, with the least amount of drama that you can possibly muster. So those are just my couple of tips, my little insights into the lunar eclipse. There's many, many, many more. All astrologers have kind of come out with the lunar eclipse. Again, it's a kind of like the solar eclipses too. It's just a major influence. It doesn't happen very regularly. So there you go. And also gear up. But apparently we do have a lunar eclipse, or not lunar, a solar eclipse, full solar eclipse happening on the 8th of April. So that's going to be, it's eclipse season. It's official. It's eclipse season. And oh man, isn't it fun? Yeah, for me, eclipse seasons are like retrograde planets. It's just, it carries with it a lot of energy. It's like a lot of energy that's been hidden for some time. It just kind of comes out of the woodwork and it's just, sometimes just in, it can be incredibly overwhelming, but, hang in there. And, you know, again, the lunar eclipse energy will subside very soon. And when it comes to the report on Mercury retrograde, as well as the solar eclipse, stay tuned for next week's episode, the chart of the moment for Aries. It's quite interesting. It's been interesting just to take a look at the trends for this month. So definitely tune in next week for that. All right. So I'm getting to our aspects. So, my aspect episode, since it's been a little while, what I usually do is I explore a particular aspect, what it means in someone's birth chart, and then I try to play matchmaker. I kind of take a look at the themes that come out with, right now I'm in conjunctions, but with certain conjunctions, what are the themes and, which sort of signs would be beneficial, or what sort of individuals would be beneficial for the individuals who are natives that have the particular aspect in their chart. And this week, I decided to cover Jupiter conjunct Uranus because I'm going to be flat out honest, stargazers. You know, it's ironic because I have this aspect in my chart I have Jupiter conjunct Uranus in Sagittarius. Jupiter was conjunct Uranus in Sagittarius when I was born. But what's kind of interesting is that I've noticed with the chart of the moments that these aspects really flummox me. I really get very stumped. I get really super puzzled. I'm not sure what exactly it is. It could just be that we have the beneficiary meets the revolutionary. You know, we have one planet that means expansion. You know, so Jupiter means expansion and growth, whereas Uranus means pure energy, you know, ungrounded energy in its fullest. And with the two together, they seem very like an unlikely match. It's like opposites attracting. So for me to find a keynote where the opposites are sharing something, it's kind of caused me to scratch my head. Not to mention when it's been aspected different planets as well. So with covering and also with researching this particular topic for this week, I also took a page from Chris Brennan, the host of the Astrology Podcast. By the way, if you guys have never heard the Astrology Podcast, dive on over there and definitely take a listen. You know, he has some incredibly, incredibly interesting episodes for sure. He also brings on guests who reemphasize or are experts with the particular subjects being talked about. But, you know, with Chris Brennan, he is notorious because he actually studied Hellenistic astrology at Kepler College. And to study Hellenistic astrology means studying the ancient astrology of ancient Greece. So history, a lot of heavy history is involved, not only with how the ancients looked at certain celestial bodies, but how we compare that with how we currently in the 20th century look at celestial bodies and look at astrology as a whole. But one thing that is very helpful is looking at the different times in which certain planets have been conjunct in the sky and, you know, the historical periods, and then looking into those historical periods as they appear. So for Uranus conjunct Jupiter, the main times that in which this was very prominent in the sky, in which basically they're conjunct in the sky, was 1100, 1941. I also took a look at my birth year, 1983, to see what was just kind of like what was going on. So when Jupiter was conjunct Uranus in the sky in 1100, so the Second Crusades were occurring. Portugal was gaining their independence, and also Cambodia was expanding. The current emperor at that time decided to expand his reign from beyond Cambodia within that time as well. In 1941, the British took over South Africa to defeat Italy in their attempts to defeat Italy and really knock them down their pins. It was also the beginnings of the Second World War, and I know with the British especially, they were doing what they could to really fight Nazism and to really, really deter the Nazi armies and also the regime that was coming up at that time. And one way that they were successful was that Italy was losing big time around 1941 when Jupiter was conjunct Uranus. And then in 1983, the U.S. and Russia, so Chris Nolan actually elaborated on this when he was kind of making Oppenheimer. U.S. and Russia were at an arms race, and they were sending nuclear bombs into Europe. Now, Chris Nolan, who actually did spend some of his childhood in London, you know, in England, he had actually mentioned that, you know, in this time, you know, everyone around him was very concerned that there would be a second Cold War, except now with nuclear bombs. and that it would be rather dangerous. And, you know, everyone was up in arms. And I think it was also true with Americans. I think Robert Downey Jr. had also added the same was true for a lot of Gen Xers who were in America at that time. It was like everyone was just worried that Russia and the United States would go to war and, you know, again, involve nuclear weapons, which could be quite deadly and costly, as well as massively destructive. And that was the last thing anyone really wanted. That was like the last thing that everyone wanted to be on their minds, or the last instance that everyone wanted on their minds or weighing heavily on their minds. So when it came to the historical themes, one thing that I started to notice was conquer or be conquered was really kind of like the main energy for the times. Now, for those who were born in 1941 and who experienced this, or for those who experienced everything in 1100, it's hard to tell, because I know World War II was very important to defend Europe and to defend the U.S. against the onslaught of Nazism was very important, even though ironically back at home in America, there was a heavy onslaught of anti-Semitism. But, you know, again, the war was very important. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, this conquer or be conquered mentality might have been taken, or if some similar sentiments might have been shared with individuals who had Jupiter conjunct Uranus in their chart. But I think for the most part, you would expect that with someone who has this conjunction in their chart that, you know, they would be super, you know, conquer or be conquered, you know, kind of be exactly like what's going on with the times, you know, like, no, these are my toys. You have, you know, your three building blocks here, whereas I have all the dolls and I have all the tinker toys and everything else. So go get your own. And you'd kind of expect for these individuals as they get older, it would be like, yeah, I have 2 5-acre plots. They're all mine. Anyone trespasses, I'm going to shoot them down or mow them down. You know, you'd think that the individuals who have, or these natives who have this influence in their chart, would be like this, considering the historical relevance of the time. However, the author is Jennifer Fried. She has a PhD. She's actually a PhD. What I love about her astrology oracle is that not only does she have this wonderful guidebook, but she has these beautiful cards that have the glyphs of the planets on them. And they kind of associate with three different levels. And what I love is that very much like the book Spiritual Astrology by Spiller and McCoy, they kind of get into, so if you have this aspect, here's the primitive nature, here's the evolving nature, and then here's the adaptive nature, and then the evolving nature. So it's kind of showing from least mature to most mature. But according to Jennifer Fried, PhD, with the adaptive and evolutionary side of this transit, matters become far more egalitarian. So there's the influence of Uranus, which is, I'm a genius. You know, I have these revolutionary thoughts. I have these aha moments, so therefore I'm a genius, paired with Jupiter kind of heightening this genius level. And with the adaptive and evolutionary, so adaptive is learning to appreciate everyone else's genius and encouraging people to speak up more. I think the more evolved is obviously establishing your own egalitarian society or your own egalitarianism, where you're not only appreciating others' viewpoints and their genius, but also that you're encouraging those who have their genius to, you know, voice it and express their opinions to the whole world, and therefore illuminate the whole world with different voices. The primitive, of course, is these individuals think that they're the emperor or empress of their own world. They think they're the geniuses. And why is everyone not on board with them? According to Astrology King, a lot of these individuals who have this aspect in their chart have a heavy need for independence. And really with Astrology King, what boils down is that these are individuals who are very much actually anti-conformity, anti-establishment. They're the big damn the mans. You know, they're out there with their picket signs, out on the picket lines, rebelling against how a certain corporation needs to go down, or, you know, how people need to be free from coal power plants, or they need to be free from corporations, or how they need to be free from any sort of situation that they perceive to be oppressive within society. I can tell you personally, I know since, you know, I was born in 1983. When I was growing up, and there was a lot of, I mean, back in the 90s, especially mid to late 80s into the 90s, there was a heavy push for corporate America. And I knew, I remembered like at the time, I just grew far more peacenik. That actually my dad would have actually called me a peacenik at the time, or a hippie. Because I was big about, you know, especially when the news or especially when media starts to reflect the violence in society by projecting violence like no other within the media, I was big about boycotting violent programs and really promoting, like when I go out and play, really promoting forms of negotiating with words, not with fists, and making sure that things were peaceful and when we weren't contributing to the ongoing violence. I think that was really prompted by me in the regard that I had a colleague at school who brought in a bullet and was relating as to how he was, you know, basically fantasizing that he wanted to basically mow everybody down if he had a gun. And this was also near the time when an 8-year-old burned down his mother's apartment because he watched an episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And another kid in high school brought in a gun and stashed it in his locker. And it was around this time, it was like 1993, 1994, where the news especially was kind of questioning whether the media was a little bit too violent. And the answer was, yes, duh. It was very violent and very suggestive, as well as very, very much not for younger audiences who were the most susceptible to kind of thinking that, you know, violence was really the only answer, or, you know, kind of getting riled up enough to do something that led to a really huge disaster. But I kind of feel like my need for independence was becoming more peacenicky or kind of more hippie. For others, it could just be, you know, they perceive something is oppressive. And whenever they perceive anything as being oppressive, whether it be a relationship or whether it be, you know, a political situation, they're going to rebel it. They're going to be very anti-conformist and wanting to take it down. By the same token, they're also very quick to learning something new. So as students, as young students, they have a very, I'd like to say, perspicacious mind. I believe that's the right word for it. But they have a very eager mind to learn. And they also learn very quickly. They learn things very quickly and very rapidly, which is both Jupiter. There's Jupiter's expansiveness that's causing them to want to learn new things. And then Uranus is quick, you know, like kind of digesting things very quickly. That really leads to this progression. But most of the time they have like this liberal outlook. They can be very, actually, what's kind of ironic about these individuals is that they can be quite chill. And as Dr. Jennifer Fried had mentioned, you know, they start to establish a very open, egalitarian sort of friendship with people. I think the one thing when it comes to relationships is that a lot of these individuals are very chill. They're very optimistic. So the Jupiter aspect comes out in the regard that they can be very cheery and optimistic. But by the same token, do not try to think that they are gullible or that they can easily be manipulated or overruled. Individuals who have this aspect are actually afraid of being manipulated and mowed down, basically. So if they perceive that you're being oppressive in any way, shape, or form, they're basically back to damn the man. And except the damn the man would be you, the person who's being oppressive in the relationship. Also, I would say that due to both planetary influences, I would also add that independence, and I think not only have a need for independence, but they really expect for independence to be respected. If you take a look, Jupiter is actually the ruler of Sagittarius, who's known for their independence. And Aquarius is the ruler, actually, sorry, flip that around. Uranus is the ruler for Aquarius, who is also very independent, almost very critically minded of institutions and very critically minded of people. So combining these two aspects, when it comes to those, when it comes to relationships and say somebody wants to express that they want to marry this individual, you know, like say they meet like a Taurian who is like, hi, I really love you. I want to marry you right now. That's going to scare this individual like no other. Do not be surprised that when you express sentiments of marriage, long-term commitments, these individuals will not only leave skid marks, they might even leave little craters because they are running so fast away from the person who's, again, establishing marriage. And for those who are into marriage, they might ask, well, why is that? And the answer is, you know, if you think about marriage, traditional views of marriage, it can be oppressive in and of itself. Especially speaking as a single straight woman, you know, when I've had guys, you know, express sentiments to me of marriage when I was 20, the one thing that kind of popped into my mind was barefoot and pregnant. This guy gets to rule his world. This guy gets to rule the house. He's dominating over me. Meanwhile, I'm just barefoot and pregnant. And it just, it's frightening to me, you know, whereas other ladies might love pregnancy or they wouldn't mind to have somebody else take control for a little while. Personally, it scares living daylights out of me. I like my independence. I like leading my own life, and I wouldn't want somebody to take over that. I think also what scared me about that was that I saw that a lot with other women that I knew, and I kind of felt like they weren't better off. I kind of felt like they were secretly oppressed. And again, that's kind of, again, it's a damn the man sort of situation. But yeah, if you're in a relationship with this individual, take things very slowly. You know, don't be like the Taurian that I met in my 20s, where after like the first date, he said he wanted to marry me. You know, when it comes to commitment types, pursue with caution when it comes to this individual. And trust me, they will also be really honest and upfront with you when it comes to their views on marriage, their views of commitment. They might be very, they would be very upfront with you with, you know, hey, I'm not into marriage. Hey, I'm not into a joint account. I'd rather have my own separate account. You have your own separate account. I'd rather be in a common law marriage where we're both still, you know, our own independent selves instead of just till death do you part. You know, the finality of marriage. And, you know, they'll be honest with you with their views. I would just say if you are dating somebody who has this conjunct in their chart, or who display signs of this conjunct in their chart, please don't think that they're just gullible and that when you say, you know, like really slow down and don't tell them that you want to marry them after the first date, you know, unless you do want skid marks to be in place of the person that you are dating, because it will happen. They will run so fast that it's going to be a blur. They'll just be a blur. And also if you want them to ghost you as well too, you know, just not return your phone calls, not return your texts, not really be in association with you. You know, if you want that, go ahead, mention marriage. But if you don't really want that and you'd like this individual to stick around, cool it on the marriage part, cool it on the family part, cool it on the nuclear dreams part, the nuclear family and the dream and the dream house and suburbia and all this, that, and the other thing. Maybe just cool it on that and really just, again, take it very slowly. This particular individual will, again, as I said, will be honest when it comes to their needs and their demands. The most that you can do is just really respect them and meet them halfway. Okay. If you don't really agree with them completely in full when it comes to their views on marriage, at least try to meet them halfway is what I would say. And sometimes that just means making some sacrifices. And again, like I said, just take it very slowly. And also in a relationship, do not be surprised if this individual also has some very unique worldviews, like really super unique worldviews. And if you ask them for their sources, they might just say, these are the things that I've interpreted from little snippets of the news. Okay. Most of the time, individuals, even though they're very damn the man, they only have, I can tell you from experience, I only have patience to view like 5 minutes of the news. And that's when I feel like I've had enough. I've had my current events for the day. I'll take the snippets from other sources that I've also heard, and then I'll form my own opinion about the matter. And like I said, sometimes that opinion can be really radical, sometimes not so much. It's like I end up coming up with a lot of questions to kind of probe and ask those who are very political when it comes to certain topics of the day. And actually many individuals who have this transit, they're going to have, like I said, almost conspiracy theory, unique sort of viewpoints. Best thing that you can do when you're in a relationship with this individual, I say this with a smile, just be very patient with them and, you know, indulge them a little bit, indulge their viewpoints a little bit. And I think they'll appreciate you more if not only you're able to answer their questions in a very logical way, or if you're able to answer their queries or their probing in a very logical way, but also if you come to the table with some critical thinking for yourself and, you know, some critical minded viewpoints for yourself as well that they can also digest and think about and mull over and discuss with you. It kind of goes without saying, a lot of these individuals, I feel like with the Jupiter influence and the Uranus influence, definitely a very philosophical bunch of people. And usually the philosophies are how to avoid war, how to avoid destroy and conquer mentals, how to avoid groupthink, you know, really kind of going against established norms. So they're very energetic and very refreshing individuals to be around when it comes to a relationship. I'm not saying this because I have this in my chart. I'm actually saying this just in viewing the energy of these two planets in the chart of the moments and kind of taking a look at what's going on worldwide, you know, how this is affecting worldwide. And I think already we have that conquer or be conquered. I mean, we're looking at Hamas with Palestine, you know, also the views of Palestinians being eradicated left and right, both by Israel as well as by Hamas, Israelis being captured by Hamas, I have some conspiracy theories about that, but I'm going to keep that to myself. That's for another podcast at another time. That's another episode and a half. But we also have what's going on in America, you know, what defines, I think really the next presidential election is really everyone defining what really is democracy. And do we actually value it is really the sentiment that's going around. And I think a lot of political parties are like, hey, if you value democracy, then vote this way or then vote that way. So we have that little battle kind of going on right now. We also, it was on Sunday morning, last Sunday, we have a lot of journalists who are being captured in Russia, innocent journalists, mainly because they were against Putin. And Putin's mad, and so that's what he does. He locks people up and throws away the key, and that's, you know, it's like, you know, I don't want to fight them, so I'll just incarcerate them and keep them under lock and key under my control. And, you know, there's a lot of questions as to how we can free a lot of these journalists at this time. But again, another conquer or be conquered sort of relationship. And it's kind of ironic because, you know, Uranus and Jupiter are actually in Taurus right now. And Taurus, I'm sorry, I have to just say it. Taurians are like the biggest loving, compassionate, peacenicky hippies that you can ever come across. I mean, they might be more conservative viewpoint. They have more conservative viewpoints, but they're very much about peace. They're very much about love, very much about, you know, also revering Mother Earth. And right now, a lot of the things that we're kind of going through is just the cataclysmic opposite of that. It's almost like the temperamental, stubborn shadow side of Taurus that we're going through, as opposed to having Uranus and Jupiter inspire love and how to end wars and how to get along despite different viewpoints, you know, instead of slaughtering people because they're different religion or different background or they have different views from you, how to, you know, incorporate and enmesh that into your current society. And it's kind of appalling, but a lot of these individuals who have this aspect in their chart, believe you me, they're thinking about these current events and thinking in their own unique ways of how to deter that, what to do, what they can do in their day-to-day lives to deter that as well. But yeah, you definitely have a very, I mean, really with this aspect, it's a very energy-ridden planetary alignment, especially with Uranus being in the mix with it. But getting to who would be great possible matches for someone who has Jupiter conjunct Uranus in their chart. So I divide it down to yin and yang. So for those who have yang sort of charts, so their charts are predominant in air and fire predominantly, my first choices and my first picks would be Sagittarius. You know, ironically, the ruler of, you know, so the sign that Jupiter rules, sorry. I definitely would say Sagittarius because they're, you know, they would easily, you know, value this person's independence for one, for starters. And they wouldn't, you know, propose, they wouldn't like make proposals of marriage after the first date. In fact, they would be just as anti-conformist of marriage as those who have Jupiter conjunct Uranus in their charts. So that they would kind of go with the flow on that one. I also think that they could add certain wisdom and certain knowledge to political theories or to conspiracy theories and give this individual a lot of room and also a lot of fodder to discuss. So the discussions would be very lively with a Sagittarian. Believe it or not, I also think the same for Geminians, except with Geminians, they would actually inform these individuals of more of the facts and more of the logic that's forming, that's kind of, you know, brewing the conspiracy theories or that kind of brews their own independent logic about certain matters within the world. And with Gemini, they would be willing to definitely act, even if it means going to the picket lines and damning the man. They definitely would love to act on that one. I had said that, definitely Aquarius as well, too. Aquarians would actually help this individual to think more critically. And then I said possibly Aries. Aries kind of likes to tie people down. But I would say possibly Aries in the regard that they would also give fuel to this individual and their causes and really help them to not only plan ahead for the future, but to aim for that target for the future. The only thing that I would recommend with Aries is when it comes to marriage and kids, slow your roll, because they're another sign where it's like, I love you after first glance. I want to marry you right now. And that's not going to go well for somebody who has Jupiter conjunct Uranus. So slow the roll, slow her down. That's one area where in the relationship, you need to slow it down a little bit. And also living together, slow it down all the way down. Take it really, really, really slow. As you know, it might be tedious to an Aries individual, but it's well worth it in the end. You know, it's keeping the relationship instead of having one person feeling alienated and running off and heading for the hills. So for those who have yin, so primarily they have a lot of earth and a lot of water in their chart. So I mainly mentioned Virgo and Pisces. Virgs would actually be like very much like Geminians, where they give not only some logic to the conspiracy theories or to the certain, very unique viewpoints of this individual, but they would also give facts and precise facts at that this individual could maybe build, that natives who have Jupiter conjunct Uranus could build off of and expand their theories and expand their viewpoints that much more. I would say Pisces, because Pisces is always willing to go with the flow. They might not be really agreeable with going to the picket lines or damning the man, so to speak, but they might be able to, while going with the flow, they might be able to recommend some more peaceful options to this particular individual. Now, again, Scorpio for me is a maybe. I think with Scorpio, they could definitely help a Jupiter conjunct Uranus person to really, kind of like with Aries, solidify their goals, solidify what they stand for, and go after it. Go after it with such tenacity. Do not back down. Go into it warrior, as a warrior. Against the corporations and don't back down until there's bloodshed. But I think again with Scorpio, the only thing that I have kind of about is the only recommendations I'd say with Scorpio is again, their secret intentions would be to snag this person, take them off the dating market and marry them and do so in a very covert way. Really slow your roll and really be careful about sneakiness, deception, mystery, because those are fodder for this individual, this particular native to coming after you, because your mysteriousness and sneakiness could be perceived as deception. And deception is something they worry about and that they're kind of almost paranoid about. Again, I speak from experience on this one. So definitely tread lightly is what I would say for those who are Scorpios and also for those who are Aries as well. But otherwise, Stargazers, this is what I have for this week's episode. I do hope that was enjoyable and informative. Above all, do not be afraid with this full moon to look up at the stars. With it, we are seeing our origins of astrology when it comes down to the 12 constellations that inspired our zodiacal signs. And above all, stargazers, with Mercury retrograde occurring, with the effects of the lunar eclipse, and also with the solar eclipse bound to come soon, please, please, please be careful out there, especially if you are driving. Please be very watchful of the roads. Really start to try to anticipate people before they make their moves, and really just be very safe and very careful. It's just, it seems like it's just also on top of the lunar eclipse's influence right now. Mercury retrograde, Mercury's in Aries right now, so it seems like everyone's being really impulsive. The solar eclipse is also going to be in Aries, so there's a lot of impulse going on that's opposing the scales of Libra. So just like I said, just be very rational, very careful out there. And above all, stargazers, between now and next week, I will talk to you then. For as little as $2 a month, you can become a patron to this page. When you do become when you do become a patron to this podcast, the free reward is that I will actually give you a prediction for love based off of your sun sign. Definitely visit patreon.com/7thHouse Astrology for more details.